and Divabetic podcast. I'm your host, Audra Shoup Smith, and this is my story. Okay, so Molly was there the night that I was diagnosed. Well, you weren't there, but you were virtually there.
Right.
So she's going to share her side of what was going on that night.
Well, I was at my apartment, and I lived in Kentucky at the time, and I get this, like, frantic text at, like, 11 or 12 at night, and she was just like, I'm going to the hospital. I think I could have type 1 diabetes, but I don't know. And then I didn't hear anything for a while. We went back and forth a little bit, and she said that she was diagnosed, but she, like, couldn't necessarily explain, like, totally what that meant. And I was, like, just really confused. So I was, like, Googling what that means. And from what I understood, it was, like, my initial thought was, like, okay, well, this is just another piece, like, of her. It will be fine. And I feel like it took a while to, like, really understand, like, what, like, all the complexities that surrounded, like, what type 1 is at all. And then she's like, I went home, and it was, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was, like, confused by how, like, quick of a turnaround it was. Like, she, like, went in, and she found out, and she left, and it was, like, all really fast. And the next day, she was like, well, I'm still going back home to Ohio and, like, back to school. And I was like, well, okay, she's just doing life normal, so it can't be that different. And I feel like it took me until I was seeing it more hands-on to, like, really understand what that was going to look like long-term rather than right here in the minute.
Because besides Brian, Molly is, like, the other person that has seen the ugliest sides of T1. Like, T1 always likes to screw up the time that we have together. And T1 almost kept me from being her matron of honor on her wedding day. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, we went to a rehearsal dinner. And to put into context, my wedding was 1 year and 3 days after she was diagnosed. So it was still a lot newer in the realm of everything. And so many things had changed back and forth. And
especially my treatment. Like, I was on shots, and then I tried the pump, and then that didn't work, so I was on shots again. And I think by your wedding, I was back on the pump.
Maybe just barely, freshly. Because you weren't for your wedding, like, your wedding ceremony in March.
That's right.
You still did shots then, and that was only, like, 7 weeks apart, so I feel like it was super new that you were on the pump again. Well, we went to my rehearsal dinner, and everything was fine, and one of my other bridesmaids and I went and had a drink at a pub in Dublin, and didn't drink a lot. We just had, like, a drink or two, and then ate over at Brazen Head.
Oh, yeah.
And then we, like, went back to my parents' house, and the three of us, like, went to sleep. And I, like, kind of remember when we were getting ready to go to sleep telling her, like, oh, like, you need to check, because it was, like, the one thing that Brian had reminded me, like, make sure to check right before we go to, like, you guys go to sleep. And we were so tired that I think she checked, but it, like, didn't. Like, it was like we were, like, basically sleeping already.
Yeah. Like, I can't remember if I was super high or super low, but I remember going to bed, there was an issue.
Definitely super low.
Okay.
Super low, I remember.
Molly's memory is way better.
Super
than mine.
Low. And I remember being like, no, I need to stay awake, and we need to figure this out now. But being, like, so exhausted, and it was, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were getting up at, like, 7:30. And I remember waking up the next morning and, like, knowing something was wrong. And my friend Katie was like, we need to start moving. And I remember, like, Katie and I started getting, like, moving because we were going to get our hair done. And that was when I, like, realized she definitely was sicker than just, hey, my levels are off a little bit. And my soon-to-be husband and Audra's husband, Brian, stopped by the house. And I remember telling Brian, like, I think she's sick, but I don't know. And Brian was thinking, like, well, we'll just get some, like, liquids in her, make sure that she's got stable blood sugar, and I can bring her over to the hair place later, or we can just figure something out. Well, we got our hair done at like 9 and 10 o'clock, and Audra stayed at the house. And I remember coming back after I got my hair done. It was like 11:30, and we were supposed to be at the venue at like 2:30 or 3.
Yeah.
And Brian looked at me and was like, I don't know. And she was so sick.
I couldn't even sit up.
She couldn't sit up.
And I think at first people probably thought I was like hungover, but I literally only had like 2 or 3 drinks.
Exactly. We had not had enough, hadn't had enough to
over
drink
the
for that to
like 6 hours.
Exactly.
So there's no way it was that. It was sometimes, like I've said before, like I'm brittle. So the smallest changes in my routine can like literally make me so sick for no reason. Or sometimes I'll just be fine. Like, it's super unpredictable. And especially within those first, like, 2 years, now I can kind of gauge a little bit better how things are going to turn out. But it was still pretty fresh. And, like, I wasn't able to really be so aware of or in tune to my body in the way that I can be now. Plus, I just started on some new medications that they were trying. The endo I was seeing at the time was kind of using me as a guinea pig in some ways. As far as, like, trying to, because insulin's a growth hormone, so when I started on insulin, I gained a little bit of unnecessary weight. Nothing like major, but I didn't like it, and especially because, you know, I'm active, I eat well, there's no reason that this should be sticking around for so long. So she kind of used me as a guinea pig in a way to kind of try these other drugs in tandem with my insulin to see, and with like the healthy way that I live, to see if that would help anything. And so I had recently started on these drugs, and a lot of it has to deal with the way that my body managed with those.
And looking
so fresh.
Looking back, it was probably a mix of like lack of sleep, the drugs that she had started, the fact that she had just gotten back on the pump like mm-hmm. a couple weeks before that.
And it had just been finals week, senior year.
Right.
I was graduating college that same weekend, so like I had been going nonstop.
Well, and just the, like we had just, like my wedding was May 17th, and like the rehearsal dinner was the 16th, and she had just had it like 1 year on the 14th of May. So like mm-hmm. the just all the emotions surrounding it, like I feel like it was sort of just the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I remember coming back from getting the hair done, and Brian was like, there's no way, like she's not making it. And she was like,
we may have to go to the hospital.
She was throwing up. She was so sick. She couldn't drink anything. She couldn't eat anything.
I had no cognitive function. Like I remember like people would be talking to me and I would try to process what people were saying, but I couldn't really like even think of appropriate responses or like I remember my brain being like, Brian just asked you a question or Molly just asked you a question. You need to answer. And I just like couldn't talk or move. It was so weird.
It was the most frightening, because that was like, she had gotten sick a couple times before, but it wasn't debilitating. Like she was still able to sort of like muster through mm-hmm. like doing things.
Like,
this is the first time where it was like, I couldn't, like she wasn't getting out of bed. And Brian was like, this is not, like, now is the time to start. Like, my mom and my dad are, like, obsessed with Audra. And so they were, like, very concerned. And so it was, like, I remember the four of us were talking for a minute. And Brian was like, okay, it's now time to start telling her that it is okay if she misses it. Like, so that she doesn't feel worse about not going. And it was, like, the second that we started being, like, no, like, it's okay if you don't go. Like, your health is way more important, which is 100% true. She was literally, like, not an option. Like, I am going. And so we let her, like, lay there, and she, like, I think she fell asleep for, like, a half an hour. And I feel like when she woke up from that, she was at least a little more functional. And one of my other bridesmaids can do hair. And so she said that she would stay back and do Audra's hair as we were all going to the venue. And Brian was like, hey, this is like, we're talking game time decision. Like, we're either leaving the house and we're driving to the venue, or we're leaving the house and we're going to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. And we went to the venue, and I remember she texted me at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock and was like, I'm on my way over. And I just remember thinking, like, how in the world are we going to do this? Mind you, it's May 17th in Ohio. Like, I know Ohio's weather is screwy. Like, don't get me wrong. I know. Born and raised. But this was, like, a whole new level of screwy. Like, it hailed on May 17th.
I need to stop laughing. It's not funny.
It is so funny now, but I was, like, in tears. It was supposed to be an outdoor wedding. Everything was set up outside. It had rained torrential downpour for 2 days. Literally, bless my dad, he went to the venue and called and walked around to see if, like, it was even, like, if it did stop raining. But then it was, like, 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was so cold.
It must have been a full moon that day.
Looking back, it had to have been. Nothing was lining up. It was so cold. And then, like, people, like, my husband was asking my bridesmaid, like, it's now time to start asking her, like, where we're going to get married, because our venue and our reception hall were at the same place. And so I didn't like some of the options that they did. And I had, like, the world's best photographer that were standing there. I'm in my veil. I have, like, a t-shirt and jeans on, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do? None of the people at the venue were there. They were all missing. And so it was my mom, the photographer, and I, and we are moving tables to create
aisle. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
To create an aisle and to put stuff down it, and people were literally going to be sitting at their reception table, and we were going to get married in front of the, like, really pretty stone chimney that's there. That they have, like, the full, like, the, it's open on all four ends. And it was this huge, like, centerpiece in the building. And I was like, well, that means the whole wedding party has to stand, which means they're standing for, I mean, it wasn't going to be a long ceremony, but it was still going to be 35 minutes probably. And like 30, 35 minutes. And I remember asking Brian, like, is she going to be able to stand that long? Like, we're all in heels. Like, I was like, what are we going to do? And he was like, well, she told me to basically shut up and that she was going to do
Bless
it.
Bless y'all's best man, Robert.
And, oh,
shout out to Robert for literally physically holding me up. I was like, I really need you to help me walk up to the, what's it called? Altar? Fireplace.
The fireplace.
It really was pretty. But I feel bad because I'm in the background of all of their pictures looking like actual death.
It's not all the pictures, but there are a couple really funny pictures where I'm, like, thinking she really could be about to go down.
Yes, I'm standing there like, don't pass out. Don't pass out.
We were able to, like, the sun did come out a little bit, and we were able to have all of our pictures done outside, and she made it through all the pictures. And I feel like it wasn't until, like, 6 or 7 o'clock that she really started to feel like a human again.
I know.
But, which was nice, because I feel like she was able to at least enjoy the reception a little bit. But it was like, that was when I realized that this was a lot. I mean, like, I had known it before that, but this was a lot bigger.
It's different knowing it and hearing Brian and I talk about it, and then it's totally different seeing it. Like, any of my friends that have witnessed me get beady sick, which is what I always call it, like, once I start feeling better, they're like, I had no idea, like, what this actually can do to a person and what it can actually look like.
Well, it almost sometimes, like, I feel like the way that I've explained it to some people is it almost looks like a debilitating hangover.
Yeah, like, it can be. And a lot of the, like, low and high blood sugar symptoms mimic, like, mm-hmm. drunk symptoms, too. So that, I mean, that part does make sense. It does, like, cognitively impair me a lot more than I'd like to believe.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely been times, like, I mean, we've had some really interesting beanies, like, situations.
Should we talk about the time that I threw up at, what's it called?
Jack Akuta's. So, my husband and I live in Florida now. We live in the Destin area. And there's this restaurant on the water that's, like, this really, like, like this like nicer sushi place, and we had just like spent the whole day on the beach, and we like went to this dinner at the restaurant, and we were like sitting there outside, and I remember she like when we sat down, she was like, "I don't think I feel good," but you were on that medicine. Was that the Victoza?
Started on it again.
And I'm telling you, that medicine, she tells me she's on that medicine. I'm like shutting everything down. Like,
yeah. I'm off of it now.
Right.
Thank God. I feel a lot better.
And we were like sitting there and she didn't feel good the whole meal. We ordered like a glass of wine. It wasn't even anything crazy. And I think she had like two sips and was like, "I think I'm going to be sick." And we are getting ready to start to think about leaving. And it's like Brian and I all at the same time. We're like, "I think we need the check 5 minutes ago." And, bless her heart, she stood up because she knew she wasn't going to, she didn't feel good.
And I was in heels.
And she was in heels, and she literally projectile vomited all over the table, all over the floor. Like, luckily, we were in, we were on the patio, so we were outside, and we were, in the corner.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone really saw.
And it was no one really saw it, but the server came out and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I know we're gonna need the check."
And then the security people at the Harbor Walk were like, "Ma'am, we're so sorry. Do you need a wheelchair and all this stuff?" Because they're like, "She has an autoimmune disease." Whatever. It was crazy.
It was psycho.
I was like, "I can never go back there." But I went back there.
We did go back
there. I faced my fear.
We were there last. But it's so interesting. I feel like as time has progressed in different situations, even though, I'm not with her on a day-to-day basis, even just texting her, sometimes I can tell if she's high or if she's low based on mannerisms. I feel the one time, the memory I have the most of it, where I was where I started to realize that if you pay attention to social cues, you're able to catch it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we were in Disney World and we came back to the hotel and we were sitting at this little bar outside and they had pizza. And so Audra's husband went and was getting pizza for the four of us. And it was I'm not saying it wasn't taking a long time, but you would have thought that Brian had been gone for 3 hours trying to get pizza because she was so mad that it was taking so long.
And see, I don't even remember this.
And I remember telling Colin, "Man, what is wrong? How it's just so not her, not her personality. Normally it's hey, we're sitting casually and having a good time. There's no reason that we should care how long the pizza is taking. We're going to be awake anyways." Right. We're watching, it was the first Saturday of football season, so we're watching the end of the games, things that we love doing.
That's the moment that I should have been the most content.
The things we love doing. And I remember the pizza came back and we ate, and then Audra and Ryan went back to the hotel and the hotel room, and my husband and I stayed and we kept we finished our drink and stuff, and we went back and we were all laying there, and she was just very irritable. And I remember thinking and then it went the other way and it was almost slap happy.
Yep.
And
that's
it was
when I'm
that super was low. When I was I think we have an issue. And I remember looking at Brian and being man, I think she went to the bathroom or something, and I was man, her mannerisms though. And we were all tired at that point, and Brian was I didn't even think about it. So we were laying there, and my husband Colin had already fallen asleep, and the three of us were just kind of talking. And it was Brian was "You need to test," and Audra and I were literally our eyes were drooping. We were so tired. And she tested, and Brian was 75% asleep, and Audra barely mumbles out that she was 24, something psychotically, something psychotically low.
The
and
fact
like
that I was even able to produce.
And Brian went from 75% asleep to upright in 0.5 seconds. And one of the fastest ways to, like, bring it up from a low is to take those, like, tablets. Mm-hmm. And so he's giving her these tablets, but to me, it was one of the scariest moments when, like, she's taking these tablets and she was so low that she was struggling to get her jaw to move up and down to chew the tablet. Mm-hmm. And so Brian was like, you have to chew the tablet faster.
Because I think we had run out of juice boxes or something.
Or they were, like, somewhere. He was trying to find them, and the juice boxes don't, like, it was at that point, it was, what can we use that's the fastest? Mm-hmm. And he was saying, well, the tabs should be the fastest, and he was trying to get her to take them, and she, like, couldn't take them, and then it was the first time where it was, like, we were just having a cognitive conversation. Like, it's not like we were, like, she had passed out or was, mm-hmm. like, there's any sign that there had been an issue, and it, like, shows just how quickly mm-hmm. it can change.
It's funny because, like, sometimes when I, like, the times that I've passed out, I haven't even been that scarily low. I've been, like, 40s, 50s, and, like, that's really low, but it's not 20s and 30s. Right. When I'm in the 20s and 30s, exactly what you just said happens. I get, like, mean, and then I get, like, really super silly for no reason. And I never remember what I do or say, but, I mean, I don't know. And I'm sure everyone's low symptoms or, like, extremely severe low symptoms are different, but those happen to be mine.
Yeah.
And I find, like, my friends and family have a hard time coming up with, like, a respectful way. Or I feel like people, like, walk on eggshells when they are trying to ask me, like, hey, are you actually, like, mad or upset about this? Or do you need to test your blood sugar? Because if I'm, like, low and mean, then I'll be like, why would you, you know?
Yeah, and does not end well for anybody who asks.
You know, why can't I just be mad without it being a diabetes thing?
I think that's why, like, it changed the game when you got the Dex.
Yes. Like, yeah, this was literally 2 weeks before I got my Dexcom.
It changed everything. Mm-hmm. Because then, like, now I can be in Florida and I can think, that's interesting. And I can just look at the app and mm-hmm. it will say, like, oh, here's, like, where she's at. And it will, like, make a lot more sense. It mm-hmm. eliminates the, hey, are you really actually mad or are you, like, low? Mm-hmm. And then in the decks
or
for
have
people
you been,
who,
like, fluctuating the whole
time? Right. Have you gone top to bottom, like, quickly? And, like, for people who don't know, the Dex, it's, like, I can get alerts. Like, if she is below, I think on mine, it's if she's below 55, it mm-hmm. will, like, alert me a really obnoxious noise. So you will not miss it. And if she's over, I think mine goes pretty high. If she's over, like, 400, it's going to beat me and say, like, hey, she's high. And so that helps the situations where she's saying, like, the times where she did pass out, she, like, wasn't that low. Like, mm-hmm. she wasn't, like, she was probably, like, right at 50 or 55. But I can see, hey, has she been that low for 5 minutes or has she been that low for an hour and 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to pretty much leave her alone if it's been, like, under a half an hour, because you never know how long it will take for it to correct itself. Like, especially during the day, like, she's awake, she's with children. Mm-hmm. She, it's more so, like, it eases your mind, like, at night, like, when, especially when Brian was gone, like, it was, okay, she's by herself, like, yes, she has Hamilton, and Hamilton has really gotten keen on the lows, I feel mm-hmm. like.
Yeah. Gotta work on those highs.
And Ollie. I feel like Ollie knows it. They have an orange cat who, like, I swear, he's like,
he's always been, able to pick up on my lows for some reason. I've never trained him anything at all, but he always would wake me up.
He'll, like, step on her head.
He's like, wake up, save yourself. I don't know. Molly has definitely had the luxury of seeing the really ugly side of T1 a lot. Like, it's almost like a joke. I'll be like, oh, I wonder how sick I'm going to get this time we hang out. Or, like, this important thing is coming. Like, I'll have important things coming up and always be anxious, like, oh, I'm sure I'll be sick that day, like when Brian had all of his graduation stuff for his training, and I would always just be anxious, like, I'm sure I'm going to wake up sick that day. And then I'd be anxious up until the day of because I'm thinking I'm going to be sick. And then that anxiety makes me end up feeling sick. And it's just like, it's hard to be able to live my life knowing that I can plan and plan, but still wake up and have to be like, hey, this is like one of the most important days. Or, hey, I've been looking forward to this trip with them for a while, but like now I'm waking up and I can't do anything until later today or maybe not at all. Like, and so as my friend, that's probably frustrating to like not always be able to count on the plans that we make.
Well, I feel like it's also, as someone who like loves someone with type one, it's like if you, I don't want to say curb your standards, but if you know, like some of my best memories with Audra is like sleeping in my bed watching Disney movies. So if you know that's the contingency plan, like that's not a bad contingency plan. In fact, sometimes that is better than the original plan.
That's true. We tried to go out last night, y'all. Oh my gosh. We were home by what, 10 o'clock?
It's like 10:30.
And starting at 9, we all got so sleepy and like a little cranky. No one's going to be named here, but it was definitely me. I feel like a grandma. But we did have a really busy day.
But it's like, as long as you, I feel like if, like, it makes it easier. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, she said, I've seen the lows of it. I've seen the highs of it. Like, I've seen the, like, celebrations of, like, making it through things or the, like, it, like the little things. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen on the decks that she's sitting at 111 and she's stable. And we've already talked about the fact that 111 is her favorite. Like, if she feels the best on it. So, I mean, like, we're texting back and forth, like, the little victories of sitting at, like, you didn't get an alert for 2 days. Like, yeah. Holy crap, that's like, amazing. Like,
and she's like, yeah, for a second I thought my alerts were turned off.
Exactly. It's it's finding the little things inside of it. Like, type one is hard. Like, man, and I feel like you can really end up in, like, the pits of hell, like, mentally with it if you really, like, start to sit on what it looks like. And I feel like between Audra and Brian, like, they do such a good job finding the, like, small victories in it all that it makes it as manageable as something like this can be. And so, I mean, I've been friends with Audra for 10 years this year, and it's...
What?
Yeah, and so...
Oh,
it,
my God.
I know. I think it's, like, 10 years in, like, November or something.
Yeah.
Because it was Fiddler.
In high school.
I know. And so, it's, like...
We would skip musical practice together.
We would.
We were just in the chorus.
Yeah, we just hung out, but it was... It's like the little things. It's, I feel like we've gone through... We've seen the highs of life, and we've seen the lows of life, and it's... I mean, I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else, so to me, type one is, like, just a piece of my life now, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm very much okay with, and it's... not to me it's not hard anymore. It's just a piece of it. Like, we went down the river like yesterday, and it was like a nonchalant, hey, like, what are your numbers, like, are we still good? And if we're not, we're just gonna like correct it. It's not going to be a like catastrophic, like, oh no, I am low on a river. Like, it's not. I feel like when you start to freak out about it, it exasperates issues with it.
When I think now, like, it's so helpful to have such supportive people in my life and also educated. Like, I know if I had a catastrophe yesterday on the river, all three of y'all know what to do. And
well, that was
that's comforting. That makes it easier on me to want to go out and do things that, like, should I go on a river when I have a bunch of medical equipment and, like, you know, we're basically stranded out there till we get to the end. Like, is that a good idea for someone with, like, a turbulent autoimmune disease? Maybe not, but, like, you know me, I'm stubborn. If you tell me I can't or anything, like, I'm going to do it even more. Or, like, I want to live my life and have fun and do what I want to do and adventure and explore and, like, having supportive people and educated people around that I know can help me if I need help makes it so that I can do stuff like that. and having people brave enough to deal with me being sick on their wedding day or throwing up in public, like, that helps too, because it enables me to get to still live my life within these, like, refined parameters, but still to the fullest extent that I can.
But it was, like, a lot harder, I feel like, in the beginning when I, like, didn't understand. Like, there came a time, I probably was after the wedding. Like I moved to Texas right after I got married, and Audra and I decided we were going to run a half marathon. And I remember thinking, like, what does that mean with, like, type one? Like, what does that have to look like? And I feel like that was when I really was like, I just want to know everything. Like, I probably was really annoying for like 6 months where I was like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Because it's made it so much easier now, because now it's like almost turned into like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the only way that we're going to get to where there could be a life without type 1 diabetes would be like if for people to be more educated and to understand that what it means and what you need and the like research surrounding it. So I feel like I've told more people in the last 4 years what type 1 diabetes is and how that can affect you and how it's different from anything else than I ever would have. Like, I walked into this having no earthly clue.
Me too.
I had no clue there was a difference between type 1 and type 2. I didn't even really know what type 2 was. Like, I just knew that there were people who had diabetes, some people had to have insulin, and that at the time, it was like the only information that was out there was really that it was weight dependent. Like, if you were overweight, you automatically had type 2 or just diabetes. It wasn't even specified.
And it's so nice that, first of all, that Molly cared enough to, like, really throw herself into the research and
I was really annoying. She's not.
No, but
she's
it,
not telling
it was
you
good
the truth.
For me, because she would ask me questions, and some of them I wouldn't even think of myself, and I'd be like, oh, Brian, we need to come up with an emergency action plan for that. Or like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? You know, and so that was good to keep me on my toes and to keep me learning about exactly what's happening with my body. But it's helpful now because if you listen to this show, you know that I'm passionate about breaking stereotypes and clearing up the hurtful misconceptions and the jokes and all that stuff. And so it's helpful to have educated people in my corner who care and help me fight those battles so that I'm not just like screaming about it till I'm blue in the face with no one listening. You know, it really helps because we're not going to get funding for cure research until people actually give
care.
A damn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so having other people share the message of why it's important. And I hate to sit around and be like, this disease is worse than y'all think, and this is why it's bad. But I think that is important. And I try to do that in a way where it's not just gloom and doom. I try to do it in a factual but vulnerable way. But it's nice to have people that can speak on my behalf too, to kind of like legitimize it. To kind of show, like, okay, she's not just being a drama queen. Like, this is what actually happens, and this is how it actually impacts your life and your marriage and your friendships, and just trying to be. And I think, because a lot of people think it's such a functional disease, it's rare that you see this side of it, where it can actually be debilitating, and a lot of people don't really share it. And a lot of people don't really have it as bad because, as I've said a million times, I'm brittle, so it's a little different. But, you know, I just think that it's nice to have people that care, people that are able to help, because that is how we're going to create change and be able to actually find a cure in my lifetime.
So. Yeah. I feel like it's just mindfulness. I feel like if more people were mindful and open to understanding stuff that they don't understand, I feel like the unknown is such a scary thing for a lot of people. And it's, if you don't have like type 1 in your life at all, you can easily avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as long as it's like she said, but like this, I feel like the podcast, it shows a lot of the, like, dark sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, by no means, like, we live a fun life. Like,
we
have a blast. Like, type 1 is just a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's pretty annoying, but it is
like, just a fact. We just move on. Like, yeah. It's not, like, by no means does this, like, you hear all these crazy stories about, like, when type 1 messed things up. But I feel like that doesn't negate all of the other times that we, like, haven't had an issue. Mm-hmm. And or we have just been able to, like, figure something out and move forward with it. It's mm-hmm. it's just a, like, a piece of life that is here. And I feel like anything else, you just have to figure out what that looks like in your life and how to keep doing life and how to continue doing a fun life mm-hmm. and enjoying life. And we are able to do that. Like, we floated on a river yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're spending a weekend at the beach in 2 weeks. Like,
and hopefully going to Disney World again.
We are going to go to Disney World again. Brian Smith, if you're listening, get ready.
Yep, just give it.
Saddle up.
It's going to happen. And everybody that would like to support that case, please send an email to brian.audra.smith@gmail.com with the subject line, Labor Day Disney Trip 2K17. And then please convince Brian that he just needs to give it up.
We will update you when he decides that he's going, because he is already going. With love, Brian.
Oh, bless. Well, thank you, Molly, for joining us today and sharing your side.
Oh, you're welcome.
And y'all, I promise it's not all gloom and doom.
No, it's not. It's really in fact, not. We're going to brunch now.
Yeah,
so
we're about to go get a carafe of mimosas and listen to New Orleans live jazz music to celebrate my 4th diversity. If my diversity was a child or like a living thing, it would be in pre-K right now.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
That is super weird.
It's weird that I think about it like that.
Well, but we're going to celebrate that we're here, and so much has changed for the better in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And
that's true.
We're going to walk with our puppies and
look cute and take pictures.
And then put chacos on and yes. be comfortable.
And then probably take a nap.
Yes.
We're really exciting. No, but when I think about the past 4 years, like, yeah, all the beady stuff comes to mind, all the hard marital stuff comes to mind, all the hard stuff comes to mind, but also, like, think about the past 4 years. In 4 years, we both have gotten engaged and married and climbed the ladders professionally and live comfortable, happy, fun lives, and I don't ever want T1 to overshadow the accomplishments we've made and the life that we've lived, and I don't think that it does.
No, I mean, what a joy the last 4 years has been. Like, it's been such an adventure. I mean, I can't even, like, we've been so many places and done so many things, and like, T1 has just been there. Like, it's not been, it hasn't overshadowed any of the joy and the celebrations and the amazingness of it all.
Mm-hmm. I think it's made our friendship stronger.
Oh, I for sure would say
it has.
It's
made me be able to trust you on a different level.
Oh, because you have to have some kind of, like, a certain level of vulnerability.
I mean, I have to trust you with my life a lot of the time.
Very true. Very
true.
Scary.
I'm just kidding.
But we are going to celebrate.
We are.
The 4th diversary.
So everybody raise a glass. We're toasting to
freedom.
Raise a glass to freedom. We all listened to Hamilton floating on the river yesterday. And I have just got to say, I'm so thankful to be married to a man. And my best friend's married to a man that likes Hamilton. And we can float down the river rapping about the founding fathers.
Alexander Hamilton.
And have no
and
shame.
And bus.
All right, y'all. Raise a glass to freedom. Just kidding. Health and life and happiness. And I promise the upcoming episodes are going to be fun and funny and more positive than the last few have been. But thanks for keeping an open mind and listening to me be vulnerable and try to really understand the hard side of this disease. And moving forward, we're going to talk about the silly and the funny and positive things. So get ready. It's about to be really happy up in here. What a way to welcome summer.
I know, seriously.
With sunshine.
At some point,
light.
They're going to get the half marathon story.
Oh, yeah. That'll
we'll
that'll
be a good one.
One over our beach trip.
Yes.
Over Memorial Day.
To be continued.
Ooh, I'm excited. All right. Always remember, I wear my heart on my sleeve and my pancreas on my hip.